Lord, we pray that as we reflect upon this story, that we might know your presence with us. So fill us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew's passion isn't simply an account of what happened to Jesus during his final hours. The gospel writer is no dispassionate recorder of events, but rather Matthew seeks to show us how and why Jesus went to the cross. As each scene unfurls and as Jesus moves inexorably towards his goal, all those around him play a much larger role in God's redemptive story. Matthew calls out the nature of evil that is in the world to show us God's pathway through. Evil is not a word that I use lightly. We tend to associate it, don't we, with pantomime villains who wear capes and laugh malevolently. But the evil that Matthew shows us is far more banal in its nature. It's the kind of evil that we walk past every day without giving it a second thought. Jesus exposes this kind of evil so that we might not only know that a new way of life is possible, but that we might have confidence in the one who has walked this way before us. Our reading today began with Judas, and he meets with Jesus' opponents to see what they would give him to be rid of this bothersome preacher and healer. 30 pieces of silver is the price. It's not much. The reality is that most evil comes cheap, and it comes cheap because most people don't realize the value of what they really have. That is, until it's gone. And so we live in a world where people sell out their careers, their relationships, their spiritual future for a handful of silver, for some immediate gain that's always short-lived and never amounts to much. The scene shifts quickly as Jesus meets with his students, his disciples, one last time. They're celebrating the Passover, and it becomes a bittersweet occasion. The feast, as you remember, commemorates Israel's deliverance from Egyptian slavery by Moses and God's mighty deliverance. But someone greater than Moses has come for this celebration. He now sits at the table, and the challenge is, will the nation realize that this deliverance has come? Or will they prefer to live in darkness and slavery? Once more, Jesus tells his disciples about his impending death. But this time, there's a twist. One of his companions will hand him over. And understandably, everyone at the dinner is horrified. None of us would do this, they protest. And yet, in private, each checks in to see if it would be with them. It's as if each of them recognizes that trustworthiness and their own loyalty has its limits. Even Jesus' closest companions, they have a dark side too, something against which they struggle even as they share in this meal together. What's really surprising isn't that Jesus knows who it will be. It's that he does not disclose this person's identity to others at the meal. Jesus does not throw Judas out. Neither does he throw us out when we reach our limits. And so with Judas present, Jesus inaugurates the new covenant with bread and with wine. a new covenant that will be consummated by his body and with his blood. A covenant which offers a new pathway through life in this dark world. This new covenant does what the old covenant could never do. It shows us God's great hospitality. It shows us how forgiveness opens the doorway to peace and to reconciliation, not just for the faithful few, but for all of humanity. The disciples don't know that they need this forgiveness. They don't know that none of them are as loyal or as dedicated as they imagine themselves to be. For when they are asked to keep watch, they all fall asleep. And when Jesus is captured, they all turn and run away. Peter doesn't know that he needs this forgiveness. He thinks of himself as someone who is strong. He comes to the garden bearing a sword and he is ready for a fight. But before the night is done, Peter pretends not to know his teacher when he's confronted by others. The guards that come in the middle of the night, they don't know that they realize that they need this forgiveness too. They come with swords and clubs. They come with all the force they can muster to execute their orders because they will not return empty-handed. They grab Jesus. They rough him up. They don't care who he is. They are simply following orders. Judas doesn't know that he needs this forgiveness as he leads the troops into the garden. He pretends as though nothing is wrong as he kisses Jesus like an old friend. But once Jesus is taken, Judas is gripped by remorse. And as the full consequences of his action become clear, he can neither turn back time nor can he face his friends. He takes what he believes to be the only way out, which is no way out at all. The authorities don't believe that they need forgiveness. They presume to know everything about God, but their devotion blinds them to Jesus' true identity. They are only concerned with following rules, rules which don't allow them to take the blood money back, the money that they had paid for Jesus' capture. How easy it is to stand on the finer points of the law, to uphold the principles of keeping it in every detail, all the while jettisoning their responsibility to pursue truth and to uphold righteousness. The governor, Pilate, didn't know he needed forgiveness. Although he's unconvinced of the challenges and the accusations made against Jesus, he only makes a half-hearted effort to free Jesus. And he's more than willing to let a guilty man go free. He allows an innocent man to be put to death for the sake of having a quiet day. Like many with power, he takes a pass on his responsibilities and makes the vulnerable pay. The evil that Matthew exposes is not something lavish or dramatic, it's cheap and banal. It's betrayal and greed, fear and power, order and violence, punching down upon others. All of this we simply take to be normal in our world. Jesus is not taken to the cross by others. It's not unreliable friends or hidden conspiracies or feckless authorities or cowardly rulers or hardened soldiers that kill Jesus. Jesus shows us that he is the Messiah by taking the journey into human darkness himself. God's power is shown not in the avoidance of human suffering, but by Jesus' quiet determination, his unwavering strength to endure it all. He does this not because he has to, but because he wants to. This is what it means to obey. This is his path of obedience. And by doing so, Jesus overcomes the powers of darkness. Jesus exposes this darkness so that forgiveness might become a reality. It's a forgiveness that is open to all who are prepared to see and know and face the consequences of who they are, so that they might find a new life in the light. Jesus offers his body and blood so that we might find new life in this world, not as a way of avoiding responsibility, but opening up the freedom to embrace it so that the world might be made new. I wonder where you might stand in the sweep of this passion story. Do you find yourself standing with the wavering disciples? Or maybe it's Peter and his challenges. Wherever you stand, Jesus offers his life and his death for you. His body and blood open a way of life for you so that a new world might become possible. Forgiveness is something that we all need, even if we don't realize it. For it is the pathway from a world of darkness into the light of fresh possibilities. Amen.